Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast with your hosts, Annabelle and Bill Pitcot. All right, let's just dive right in. There's this idea that I think everyone has thought about at some point, the magic pill, especially when it comes to weight loss, right? That desire for a fast fix, something to just skip past the hard parts. It's so compelling.
It really is. It's the ultimate temptation.
Yeah.
And you can't blame people. Weight management can be a really brutal and frustrating journey.
Yeah.
So this deep dive is meant to be a shortcut. But a shortcut to being well-informed. Our whole mission today is to get past the shiny marketing and give you a smart, cautious, you know, a practical look at diet pills.
Okay.
We're going to look at where they can be legitimately used and, just as important, the very real risks.
And we should be clear, we're not just pulling this from, you know, random opinions online. Our entire analysis is grounded in the information that's been compiled in the best-selling ebooks from Pitcot.
That's right. They've done the heavy lifting of separating the science from the hype.
Exactly. And if you want to see that source material for yourself, you can download those ebooks right now. Just visit www.pitcot.com/books.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Before we can even talk about if they work, we need to know what we're actually talking about. What are diet pills beyond the packaging?
It's a huge umbrella term, and that's the first thing to understand. They basically fall into three main buckets.
Okay.
You've got your prescription drugs, which are obviously tightly regulated. Then there are over-the-counter tablets, which are, you know, more accessible.
And the third.
And then you have the natural herbal pills, which can be, well, a bit of a wild west in terms of regulation. But even though they all aim for weight loss, they attack the problem in fundamentally different ways.
So it's not just one single trick.
Not at all. The Pitcot material really breaks it down into three primary mechanisms. The first, and probably the most common, is appetite suppression.
Right. Making you feel less hungry. Exactly. These pills work on the chemical signals between your gut and your brain. They essentially turn down the volume on your hunger signals. It just makes sticking to a calorie goal so much easier psychologically.
That sounds like a huge deal for anyone who's ever felt like they're just constantly fighting cravings.
It removes that friction. Then the second mechanism is what we call metabolism boosters.
The ones that promise to burn fat while you're sitting on the couch.
Well, sort of. They typically have stimulants that kind of tap into your body's fight or flight system. It just nudges your base metabolic rate up a little so you burn more energy all day, even when you're resting. Mm-hmm. It's a small but consistent boost.
Okay, so a small boost. And the third type, the famous fat blockers.
Infamous? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fat blockers, their whole job is digestive. They interfere with an enzyme lipase that your body uses to break down and absorb fat from food.
So the fat just passes through?
For the most part, yes. It's not absorbed. So those three, suppressing hunger, boosting metabolism, and blocking fat, that's pretty much the core of the whole industry.
That's a really clear breakdown. So now let's get into the part everyone wants to know about, the upside.
Mm.
The research suggests some people do see results, but there's a huge if attached, isn't there? They only seem to work alongside exercise and good eating habits.
That if is the entire story. The pills are like an accelerant for a fire you've already started. You can't just throw them on cold logs.
Good analogy.
But when that foundation of diet and movement is solid, yeah, the research points to four key benefits that can really help.
So let's lay them out. What are the actual perks?
First is the one we touched on, the very practical help from less hunger. The appetite suppressants just give you some psychological breathing room. It can give someone enough momentum to stick with it until those new habits actually become, you know, habits.
And then there's the direct calorie effect from the boosters.
Correct. The more energy burn. It's not massive, but it's like having a small tailwind.
Yeah.
It just makes hitting that calorie deficit a little bit easier every day.
And the fat blocking. I guess that works like a sort of safety net for a high-fat meal.
You can see it that way, yeah. It provides a direct way to reduce overall fat absorption. It's a pretty straightforward intervention. Mm-hmm. But the fourth benefit is where it gets a little tricky.
Oh.
It's convenience. Just the simplicity of taking a pill can feel like a huge plus when your life is already hectic. It streamlines a really complex journey.
I can see that, but isn't that also a huge psychological trap? If the pill makes it feel easy, don't you just start thinking the pill is the solution, not the habits you're building?
That's a brilliant point, and it's the core conflict. The Pipcot analysis is very clear on this. Convenience is a dangerous benefit if it replaces habit building.
Right.
Because when you stop the pill, if you learn nothing about portion control or mindful eating, that gap is still there waiting for you. The pills are supposed to be a temporary crutch to help you change behavior, not a substitute for it.
Okay, that makes so much sense. And that really brings us to the other side of the coin, the risks. The material we studied is very direct that these pills have a price, and it's not just in dollars. So what are the core dangers we need to be really aware of?
In this part, we have to be extremely serious about. The analysis points to 5 core risks that should be mandatory reading for anyone even considering this.
Let's start with the most immediate ones, the side effects.
The first danger is just the range of ugly side effects. You know, because many of these are stimulants, you get the mild stuff pretty commonly, nausea, jitters, anxiety, headaches.
The stuff people might expect.
Right, but it goes way beyond that. You can see increases in blood pressure, a racing heart, and in some really severe cases, liver problems. You're pushing your body's systems, and there's always a price for that.
And that intensity must lead to the next danger, mixing them with other things.
The weird interactions risk, this is probably the single most important warning, mixing these pills with other medications, especially for your heart or for diabetes or depression, can be genuinely dangerous.
I can imagine.
It can lead to all sorts of issues. This is why talking to a doctor and giving them the full picture isn't optional. It could save your life.
And then there's the long-term risk of just needing them.
That's risk number 3, addiction potential. The research shows that the stimulating parts of these pills can lead to dependence. People feel like they're hooked on the energy. They get these awful crashes if they stop, and they need more and more just to feel normal.
It becomes a cycle.
A very damaging one. And the 4th risk is this weird paradox. The very thing you're using to lose weight could actually hurt your body's ability to do it later.
How does that work?
It's the metabolism slowdown risk. If the pills help you cut calories too fast, your body's ancient survival instincts kick in. It thinks there's a famine, so it starts hoarding fat and slows your whole metabolism down to conserve energy. That makes it incredibly hard to lose weight naturally later on, which just makes you feel like you need the pill again.
And that leads right into the last risk, which is probably the most common one, the yo-yo effect.
Yeah. Exactly. The short-term fix reality. The material is brutally honest here. If you haven't changed your underlying habits, once you stop the pills, the weight almost always creeps back. And that starts that exhausting, soul-crushing cycle of yo-yo dieting.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot to take in. And this is probably a good moment to just pause and say, if you're finding this kind of balanced discussion valuable and you want more resources to help you navigate your own journey, we really encourage you to visit www.pitcot.com.
So now, if someone working with their doctor decides this route is right for them, Pitcot's analysis also gives a really clear, smart strategy for using them safely.
Right. So what does that look like? What are the non-negotiable safety rules here?
There are 5 big ones. Number 1, and we can't say this enough, talk to your doc.
Don't go it alone.
You must not go it alone. You need personalized advice based on your health, your history, your other meds. That professional insight is non-negotiable.
And step 2 is that foundation we keep talking about.
Yes. Pair with healthy habits. The pills are only a helper. The foundation has to be solid. That means eating real food, moving your body in ways you enjoy, and getting enough sleep. A pill cannot fix a fundamentally unhealthy lifestyle.
Okay, and step 3 is about actually following the instructions.
Stick to the rules. This is all about dosage. Do not double up ever thinking it'll work faster. That's how people end up in the ER. Just follow the instructions from your doctor to the letter.
And what should you be looking for, you know? Once you start, what are the red flags?
That's step 4. Watch for warning signs. You have to listen to your body. If you experience anything serious, chest pain, intense mood swings, bad headaches, you can't sleep, you stop immediately and call your doctor. Your health comes first.
Always. And the final step.
Check in. Often. Schedule regular checkups. You need to monitor things like blood pressure and heart rate to make sure your body is handling it well. It reinforces the idea that your health is so much more important than just a number on a scale.
It's about the whole picture.
Absolutely. So if we put this all together, the real definition of diet pills is clear. They are tools, not miracles. They can be a useful, very targeted part of a bigger plan, especially for someone dealing with clinical obesity or who has really tried everything else under a doctor's care.
It brings us right back to that truth that, you know, you can't sell in a bottle. What really works long-term is building those daily habits that are good for your body.
Hmm.
Eating whole foods most of the time, moving in ways that make you feel strong, laughing, sleeping well, that's the stuff that actually creates lasting wellness.
Exactly. And, you know, to leave you with a final thought from the source material, whether you choose to try this route or you choose to avoid it completely and stick to lifestyle changes, the most important thing is that you start the journey.
Just take that first step.
Just take that step. You deserve to feel strong and safe and proud in your skin, no matter what tools you use to get there.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. And we want to remind you again to visit www.pitcott.com for more of these valuable resources, including those best-selling ebooks we mentioned.